Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Social Work Bubble podcast. Thank you for joining us. I'm your host, Laura, a licensed master social worker here in New York. And today we have a special guest, Taylor, who will be talking to us all about finances, paying off debt, something that is really important for social workers. Thank you so much, Taylor, for coming on.
Yes, thanks for having me. So excited to have this conversation. It's definitely needed in our community.
Absolutely. I think the only things I ever hear about money in social work is that it's not there. So
we have all
the debt, but none of the money to pay it off.
Yeah, totally.
Well, we'll get into it in a second. As we get started, Taylor, can you kind of introduce yourself to the listeners, kind of your journey in social work and what got you to this debt payoff place?
Yeah. I'm Taylor. I am a licensed clinical social worker in the state of Oregon. I work in medical social work. And let's see, starting off with my journey in social work, I, for the longest time, didn't even know what social workers do, which I feel like is a common thing that we all come across. When I was in undergrad, I was getting my bachelor's in psychology, and then I was kind of panicking, like, what am I going to be able to do with my bachelor's in psychology? I knew I kind of wanted to be in the social services field, but I didn't know what that would look like. And I also didn't think I would get paid very well with just a bachelor's degree. So I started, exploring master's programs, but social work kind of came into my radar when I met this therapist. I volunteered at this child advocacy center where we did forensic interviewing for.
I love child advocacy centers.
Yeah, it was seriously, just has a special place in my heart. Mm-hmm. Hard work, which we all do hard work and very just meaningful work. And so we had a training with from a therapist who did therapy for the children who, came through our center. And I thought, wow, that would be so rewarding. And I would love to kind of be a part of that. So after the training, I talked to her on the side. I was like, hey, like, how can I do this or work with you? Cause she had mentioned something about like, come intern with me. And she said, it's through the social work program at Portland State University. And I was kind of like, whoa, that really, then I went into a rabbit hole and into researching social work and just was able to learn that there's so many avenues, that we can take as social workers. And that really resonated with me because at that time, doing therapy in that with that population was interesting, but I also wasn't for sure if I wanted to do that. And so I felt like social work could really give me the skills and opportunity to, try many things. So pursued social work, a master's in social work. And let me back up. I applied to 4 programs. And after I applied, I was getting super stressed out that I wasn't going to get accepted, So I was just like, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? So I started trying to like build up my resume a little bit more in case I needed to get a job. And so I found on Craigslist this volunteer position.
Oh my gosh.
It was a volunteer position at this hospice agency, and they were recruiting for like patient volunteers. And so I signed up and went, got this training, and started visiting this individual who was receiving hospice services, and would just visit her weekly and, provide some kind of social support to her. And I really fell in love with hospice and end of life care and talking about death and dying and just being in that, realm.
Yeah.
And so going into my master's program, my first practicum was at a hospice agency. And then my second one was at the Veterans Hospital. So I really kind of leaned into like the medical social work, and I've really enjoyed that.
Yeah.
And then after graduation, I was hoping for, we're going to start talking about money.
There we go.
it is. Well, I was hoping for, I didn't even have really a concept of what would be like a good salary, but I was thinking, maybe $60,000. That would be a really great starting salary,
Sounds
right?
good.
Sounds
Sure.
good. Yeah. So I went to school out of state and then came back and am applying to all these jobs and not really getting many responses. I did interview at this community mental health center to be a mental health therapist, and I ended up taking that job, but the starting salary for that job was $40,000. And that was really disappointing. And that was in 2018. So I remember calling my parents and being like, my dad and my stepmom being like, do I have to take this? Like, this is so low. I feel like I have a master's degree. This doesn't feel like an appropriate salary for this job, providing mental health services to my community. And I didn't have any other offers, so I was kind of desperate. So I took that job. And I've moved a few times throughout my career. So I stayed at that job for about 13 months, moved to a different city, kind of transitions, life transitions with my husband and I in school. And so my second job, I'm on my fourth job now out of grad school. It's been 5 years since I've been out of school. So second job, I was a hospice social worker, so it was like dream job.
Oh,
I
that's
loved
amazing.
it. I really, like I was saying, I really love that work, and was able to get a little bit of a raise moving into that position. I think at least on the West Coast, medical social work is I feel like a little bit a higher paying kind of field in social work. Do you feel like it's that way
I
for
think so
in the East
too.
Coast?
Yeah, that's what I've seen in a lot of hospitals. And that's why I've seen, I think a lot of the people I went to school with to do like clinical social work ended up in hospitals or like in medical social work because of the money. And I'm like, yeah, go get it. That makes
I
sense.
know, right? We gotta pay our bills. So I stayed in that job for around the same amount of time, moved again, moved to a city where my husband's going to school. He's going to medical school. So I got a job at a hospital, got a little bit of a raise there as well. I was doing discharge planning and working in the emergency department, doing behavioral health assessments. So that was that. I started that job in 2020, like fall of 2020. So definitely, a lot of COVID. It was a small hospital, so we didn't have a ton of cases of people with who had COVID, but
That's still a lot.
it still was very prevalent and hard, and just not having enough beds for people who need them, and it was really stressful. But I did enjoy it. I think kind of that was my most recent job, the turning point of that. I was expecting to be there for a while, but my coworkers and I started talking about, our salaries amongst each other, and we're starting to notice some pay discrepancies, which, I'm really proud of all of us that we were able to kind of be vulnerable and trust each other with that information, because, it helped us feel empowered to come together and, advocate for more. We were exploring unionization because we were one of the lowest paying hospital systems in our area, and unionizing takes so long. And so we were just kind of like, how can we get what we want sooner?
Yeah,
How can we
absolutely.
get more money? differentials for working in the evening, working on the weekends, all these things that other hospitals were offering, other hospital systems were offering. How can we get those things? And so we came together and wrote this letter, demand letter, I would call it. And we have, there's like a paragraph of just our dissatisfaction and our current state of burnout and how we're hoping things to be improved. And we had a list of, I don't know, 15 or so things that we were hoping, that could be changed. And
Amazing.
so, yeah,
Wow.
it was seriously so, I don't know, so powerful. It just was like, this is what we do as social workers. We advocate,
Yeah, absolutely. I don't think even social workers listening would know that's an option, because we think about like, okay, we can either like unionize or like we can talk to our supervisor about it, even though maybe nothing will probably change. But to have a letter of demand with a list, like that's strong, that's powerful.
Oh my gosh, it was, yeah. And I feel like all of us just really felt so empowered. And I think, the collective, having more people obviously helps,
Definitely.
So we sent that off to our manager. We had, she sent it off to administration, and we had various meetings and with her, with our manager and her boss and HR and essentially the message was, this is just kind of how it is. It wasn't really, it wasn't what we were hoping for, and it was very disappointing. I remember one of the conversations was like talking about, wanting us to reflect on why we came into social work, and it just felt like I need
Yikes.
to pay, like, don't disregard
Mm-hmm.
my need to be paid more, by just trying to like cloud the conversation of remembering why we came into social work. And I know why I came into
Yeah.
social work. And one of my coworkers just kind of like shut that conversation down. I was like, this is not the
Good.
time to have this conversation about my values and social work. And we're here to talk about our work-life balance, our pay, our benefits. Like, not appropriate.
Not at all. I see that a lot too with people, I think, that are wanting to go into private practice so that way they can have more financial independence, where there's so much guilt on, like, oh, but like I have to stay for my clients, or like this is more accessible healthcare treatment. And it's like, okay, you're also not going to change that system. So, and you have bills to pay and loans to pay
Absolutely.
off. Like, you do have to
Absolutely.
take care of yourself in that way.
Yeah, absolutely. There's one person on Instagram that I follow who I really like. She does business coaching, and she really preaches, people getting paid their worth and also charging their worth, if you're a business owner, and just saying, do not exploit yourself. Like, just don't, why are we exploiting ourselves? Like, we have needs and we need to pay our bills, and have just be able to live comfortably. We all deserve that, but this letter was not received well. And there was a conversation towards the end where my manager essentially was saying that we're replaceable, our social work department, or so us as social workers, like, she's like, you're replaceable, right?
Oh my word.
And that was really shocking to hear. And just because we, as social workers, our department, we did all the discharge planning, and so we were essential to the hospital. We were essential workers.
Absolutely.
So it just kind of, that is what pushed me into searching for a new job, and because I just didn't really feel supported and
No.
didn't want to continue working, with someone who felt comfortable telling her staff that they were replaceable.
Yeah.
It's
That's
just
not
like,
leadership. That's not
no,
cultivating anything good in the workplace. Oh my word.
absolutely not. No. And she's a social worker also. So, sigh. Yeah.
I'm glad you
So,
left that.
yeah. So now I'm working Still in the medical field, I work
Mm-hmm.
as a in the transplant, organ transplant field. So working with people who are their person is in the ICU, and I'm talking with them about their loved one being an organ donor and supporting them through that process. So I've been working here for this month, it'll be, or last month was 2 years. I really love it. Have
Wow.
great, yeah, have great managers and people who advocate without me asking for my pay and are, you know, just really kind of cultivating just a healthy work environment. So really loving it.
And it exists for social
It
workers listening. It
exists.
exists.
It exists. I know my one of my old coworker, shout out Dora, she and I worked at this hospital and we both came to this job together. And so we started on the same day and we, you know, after a 1 month, we're like, is this a real place? Like, what are we missing? They're like, there's something off because this is too good. You know, like, when is the other shoe gonna drop? Which is unfortunate. And I feel like sort of a trauma response of us feeling, you know, just not having good experiences with our previous workplaces. And so
Absolutely. I
we
felt that same
definitely.
way when I like went to the job I'm at now. I'm in a private practice and I came from community mental health. And I remember like looking on Indeed for jobs, and I came across the one for the job I work at now, and I'm like, that must be a scam. Like, that's not real. And I almost didn't apply to it because I didn't think it was real.
Wow. Yeah. What is it that seemed like too
Well,
good to be true?
at the practice I'm at, they specifically wanted like LMSWs, fresh graduates. You're able to like get all your supervision. You had a caseload of like a max of 30. And when I was in community mental health,
What?
I had like 50 plus clients. It was insane. And the pay was so much better. There was benefits. I didn't have any benefits in community mental health. So like I was just
Wow.
going without insurance, just winging it.
I can't believe
And
that.
it was just so crazy. And what else? Oh, at this practice, they'll give you all the information you need to start your own practice, and you can take your clients with you when you leave.
That's wow.
And
That's
it's
I feel like
exactly
that's
how it
unheard
is.
of. Wow. Yeah. How
It's
long have you worked there
crazy.
now?
It's almost 2.5 years now. I actually just put in my stuff for my LCSW, so
Oh,
as soon as I pass that,
congratulations.
I'm leaving, but it's been great.
Yeah, it's I know. I feel like it's been awesome to be able to share that story with our story with other social workers that we know of, like, it's you can find it. Maybe you just need to come here, like, we'll recruit you. But
True.
it's out there for us, and I know it feels like a rare story though, unfortunately. So then let's see. I'll back up just to December 2021. I was working with my, or I was at brunch with two friends, and one of them brought up a high yield savings account. And for those of you who don't know, just high yield savings account is a savings account that has like 20 times higher interest rate than our regular savings account at our bank account, in our, you know, the normal bank accounts that we have. So she, you know, told me about this savings account, and I was just like, whoa, my mind was blown about this concept of a savings account with a higher interest. Why haven't I not heard about this before? And so I kind of just went into this rabbit hole of like personal finance. And at that time, we have a lot of debt. We still do, but I just started learning a lot about personal finance and investing. And, you know, I feel like I was someone who, and it's okay if you're still this person or if anyone is this person, but I just had this feeling and mindset that, like, I'm always going to have my student loan debt. It's always going to be there. Like, I'm just going to die with my debt. And so I started coming across people who were saying that they were paying off, these large amounts of this large amount of debt and, however much time, and now they're debt free and, just kind of sharing about their lives and how that debt not being there has just changed their lives in whatever way. And so it was really inspiring to see, like, oh wow, I don't have to have this debt forever, and maybe I can retire early. And so,
Because it really is such a weight, to carry, knowing, oh, I have all of these things that are just there, and it's so heavy. So to know that there's a life where that doesn't have to exist is like, oh my gosh, what?
Absolutely. Yeah. It was so inspiring, and it made me want to start sharing what I'm learning through, our personal finance journey, and how we're paying off debt, and especially in our social work community, just showing people that, like, social workers can be debt free. We can live happy, financially healthy lives too, but there's just not very many examples of that. So wanting to share, just our journey in paying off our debt. So we started in May 2002 is when I, like, wrote out all of our debt, added it all up, and it was $277,000 of
There we
debt.
go.
There it is. And yeah, so kind of sharing that this is how much debt we have. It's hard for a lot of us to talk about the debt, that we have and our money. And so just wanting to start a conversation about people not feeling isolated, or just about having debt and knowing that other people have it too. And
Absolutely.
we'll get through this together. So I've just been blogging, and I post on Instagram my journey, our journey of paying off this debt and what we're learning, and personal finance tips that I'm coming across that I feel like would be helpful to share with other people, especially social workers. And so yeah,
Amazing.
so far we paid off $40,000 of debt.
So exciting.
Yes, and we still have 230, 37 or so left to go. So we've got a bit. We've made some good progress, so that feels good. And I think I've come across a lot of people that it's have shared with me that it's been helpful for them to just read and about our journey. And so it's been really good.
That's amazing. What was your initial reaction when you kind of calculated how much debt you have? What was that like?
Oh my gosh. It was even like you asking me that question, I can just feel like stress, anxiety, I think I was avoiding it for a long time, and that's something that I think is important to just acknowledge and talk about with for all of us, regardless of how much debt you have, or maybe you don't have debt, but you just know your finances are not where you want them to be, and kind of sitting down and confronting, I feel like as social workers, we can talk to our clients about confronting this or
So
confronting that.
easily.
So yeah, kind of getting over that that stress, and not even getting over it, but just knowing that this is something that I wanted to work through and something that I eventually wanted to be gone, but it was stressful. And so it was, I think our breakdown was about 17 or so thousand of it was not student loans, so just like credit cards. We had a fence for our house and, furniture, Peloton, a couple other things. If people are interested in, like, the raw numbers, I'm fairly transparent on Instagram and my blog about, the breakdown of all of it.
Amazing.
So people can go look if they're curious. And then the rest of it were student loans. So right now what we're paying off is all student loans. So $230,000 of student loans. And it's a combination of my husband and I balance. So yeah, it was
I feel
stressful.
like that's the case for so many people too, because I did have a moment Like, I calculated how much debt my husband and I have, and it's like, oof. I want to say I think it was like $150,000 or something. I haven't looked at it again. That's something we need to do. But like the majority of it is student loans, which is so frustrating.
It's seriously so frustrating. I know, we could have a whole conversation about
Yeah.
how ridiculous that
It's so much. But that's also, I think, very common for social workers too. And so, unfortunately, part of the conversation is like you almost have to get student loans in order to get the degree that you need to get the job that you want to get. But then you don't get the pay that you need to pay that off.
I know. Yeah. I know, it's really a lot. I feel like most of the social workers that I know, if not all of them, have student loan debt, and it's such a huge stress. And I think that's also something that kind of motivates me to in sharing this information and directly talking to social workers, because I have felt as I've gone through this journey, and it's not over. I feel like my personal finance journey will be a forever thing. And I also try to remind people that, like, just because I have this blog and this Instagram and I'm sharing, the stuff that I am doing, I don't know everything. I'm still learning. But through this process, I have felt a lot more empowered, and not even related to finances, but just I feel like it kind of overflows into other areas of my life, because I'm feeling more in control of, like, my finances, and not feeling like they're controlling me. And just kind of that internal transformation that I have felt. I'm like, I want other people, other social workers, to feel this empowerment that I'm feeling, because our jobs are so stressful, and then we have our finances to deal with, and it's just, we don't always have, like, the mental capacity to, put towards our finances. So I totally understand that. But just kind of feeling how much it's changed my life, truly, I'm like, I want other people to feel this way too. So.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, I know, I mean, when I've heard people talk about money, I hear a lot of like almost like cognitive behavior therapy stuff where they have to change your mindset, you have to change your relationship to money. Was that something that you experienced as well? What did that look like?
Oh my gosh. Yeah, that's a good question. I think the relationship piece is a big part of it all. And I think, like I was saying earlier, just starting to feel like I'm in control of my money and it's not in control of me, and that anxiety and stress, it's still there, but it's happening less. I feel it less often, which I feel like is a success. But I also think just believing in myself, and that I can learn these things to, change my circumstance. And I'm not saying that that's the situation or kind of mindset that other people, just need to have. Just like, I know all of our circumstances are different, and you know what I mean? So,
Because
yeah, I
there are
think.
certainly some nonsense financial gurus out there that are just saying, oh, well, you just view money negatively, or just like, and stuff that, okay, if that works for you, fine. But everyone is so different. You kind of have to work through your own personal relationship to money in that way.
Yeah, absolutely. And I feel like my personal relationship and my personal issue was that I didn't feel like I could learn it. And so, that was something that I needed to get over. And just also really the confronting it, and all the anxiety and stress that goes around that, I think is hard to kind of push through by yourself. And so, knowing that there's coaches or there's people out there that can help you, sit down and really look at the numbers, because it is, there's financial therapy out there for a reason. That's a new kind of brand, not, I feel like newish to me, but that is a branch of therapy, for them to help people really, like, unpack their money traumas and beliefs around money and their relationship with money. And improve their relationship with money. So I think, not discounting the kind of mental, impact that all of this can have. Yeah, because it's hard. And like I was saying, with us having these stressful jobs that we have, trying to find the time to kind of sit down and really just examine your finances, it's hard. And also, I feel like finding people out there that you feel comfortable with learning from, this is like the financial space is a very white male dominated space. So I feel like it's also, intimidating to just be like, I don't know who to go to. I don't know who to look to to get this advice. No one who's giving this advice looks like me. So I think that's something that also helped me feel a little more comfortable, just finding people in the space who their voice resonated with me, and they weren't, spewing this like guilt and shame narrative. Yeah. I think that was also a big mental hurdle or shift that I had to work through, or still am, just feeling this like guilt and shame for having so much debt, and getting into credit card debt and all of those things that make you feel like you're a bad person or bad with money. And so just, kind of reframing those things, and we're all doing the best we can.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, with where we are right now in the world, very normal to have credit card debt. Very normal to have any debt at all.
It really is. Yeah. And knowing that other people, I think that's another thing that I have slowly been realizing, that the finance struggles that we have feel so isolating, because it's one of those topics that we never talk about, like with literally anyone, and so starting to have a little bit more of those conversations with people in my life, it's, validating, and also you can kind of, I don't know, build stronger relationships in that way of just being like, oh my gosh, you also are struggling with that. So am I. And it's also helpful to learn from those people too, about like, how do you budget? This is how I budget, but the finance piece of our lives is just so, we just keep it really secret, and that can be really isolating when you're struggling.
Yeah. Absolutely. And I think to your point even earlier, like just when you were sharing with coworkers how much everyone was making, things come to light. You realize, oh, maybe it's time to move on to something else, or okay, this isn't working anymore.
Yeah, those conversations were so powerful, because what kind of started all of that was one of our coworkers left to a different hospital system, and she was like, hey, this is how much I'm making. And we were like, whoa, that's way more than, some of us. And so then a few of us started kind of talking, and it was like, wait a minute, how long have you worked here? You're older than me and you've worked here longer, but I make more money than you. So, we were all very, it's hard to have those conversations, but, it definitely led us to that letter, and ultimately, I don't think I really finished that story because I just said I left, but we were able to get in about a 20% increase in the social work salaries for every social worker in our hospital system in the state. So,
whoa,
it was huge. It
That's
was
incredible.
Seriously, a huge success. But it all started with us feeling, being vulnerable and transparent with each other about our money. So, and not saying that, just be vulnerable and transparent about your money with your coworkers and you'll get a 20% raise.
Right. In that vein about like how much people are making, I think like we've talked about this, how social workers already kind of come into the field with these ideas, like you're not going to make any money, the pay sucks. It's just very normalized, kind of get used to it. For those that kind of hold that belief who are listening, how can you tackle debt when the money that you're making really does feel like it's not enough to cover everything?
Oh my gosh.
It's a big
That is
question.
I know, and I really wish I had this the secret to paying off debt and having a low salary, but I don't. I think a lot of people in the in this personal finance space talk about, cutting expenses and increasing your income. And I know that that always isn't like so easy to do. And I think if you feel like you've cut all you can, you're really looking at your budget and you're not overspending, and you feel like there's no room in this budget to pay off debt, then it is time to look for a new job. Like that's okay. And I think us, becoming becoming okay with leaving a job because we need more money, I think that's a mental hurdle that social workers have to go through sometimes when they, because we really care about our clients and our organization. And if I leave, then who's going to see these people? And I'm not in it for the money, but I need more money. And so I think it's okay to leave a job because you need more money. I think that is just, I don't feel like that is a terrible reason to leave a job. And that can be the only reason that you need to leave. And that is okay. That is okay. I don't want to, I'm like, side hustles. Oh, I
It's so
hate to say
tough.
that because it's like we're already stressed and stretched. And, I don't want to, I'm trying to channel resting more personally in my life
Good.
and not doing those side hustles. And so, but it's just if the numbers, if they don't add up, they don't add up, like there's not much more that we could do. Potentially advocating for more pay within your organization is possible, but also a process and can be timely and could potentially put stress on your relationship with your managers or other coworkers, with which is what I feel like kind of happened with me. So just knowing that that's something that can happen, but it can also be successful. So yeah.
It's a hard journey.
It really is. Yeah, I wish that we could be valued a little bit more than we do. But I also know that there are social workers out there that are making, decent salaries, and me
Definitely.
included. I recently put out this form to collect social work salaries.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah, and I kind of started because I was just like, it would be so interesting to see, what other people are making anonymously. Other people have asked me to share information about social work salaries on Instagram. And so I was like, yeah, let me make this form, gather some information, people's degree, how long they've been in the field, like where in the field they work and what's their salary, where do they live. And so I have this list of, I think it has almost 700 salaries now of social workers across the country. And
That's so
also,
cool.
it's really, really cool. And there's also some who are, a lot of people from the UK have posted. I'm in this like social work group with a lot of social workers from the UK. So they've posted their salaries too. But it's really fascinating to get to see some actual numbers of people who are working in the field, And so seeing that there are definitely a lot of salaries that are low. And it's like, oh, that's the salary that we think of when we think of social workers. But there are also salaries on there where you're like, hell yeah, You're killing it. Like, so happy for you. Glad
Yeah.
that you're getting paid what you deserve. So I think that link is in my bio, and it's a little encouraging to see,
Yeah.
because I feel like there is this narrative that we're all getting paid terrible salaries. And we're not, but it can be hard to find those jobs too. So I totally get that. I think at some point I was asked by someone to, I didn't really have, I just wanted to kind of like share this and share it online. I didn't think that it was going to get this big. And so I'm hoping to kind of like organize the information and really see if there is kind of a trend or a specific field, you know, or a state that, like, you know, maybe medical social workers, you know, that have filled out that form, it is true, they're making the most, or, you know, whatever, just trying to see kind of like what are the trends for our salaries. 'Cause someone who's in a master's program right now said it would be really helpful to know, you know, when I start looking for a job, like, where should I be looking if I want, you know, this sort of salary? So,
Yeah.
yeah.
So interesting. Oh my gosh. I do think too, honestly, I'm thinking about my own financial journey. And I think like one of the bigger reasons, I guess, now that I'm thinking about it, for me getting my LCSW is so I can make more money. Because it's like there's only, I don't know, like back in the day, I feel like a lot, you could be a social worker with just a bachelor's degree. And now it's just like increasing and increasing. And so many jobs are like, okay, we're only hiring LCSWs. You have to have like an independent license. And so I'm like, all right, well, I'll do what I gotta do. And that's kind of been the thing that's like in those moments that are tougher. Like when I was in community mental health, I was only making $30 an hour. But with the no-shows that I was getting, it was like I was getting paid minimum wage because you only get paid
Oh
based
my
on if clients
gosh.
show up because I was fee for service. And I was still able to live at that time. And so like you can make it work. And I was kind of just holding out for now when I do make good money in like private practice. And so I think also just like giving yourself time. Like I think as you build experience, you do open yourself up to more opportunities where there is better pay. And it's annoying that it has to be that way, but there are opportunities there.
Yeah, so true. And then I also think about like us having to invest the time and the money to get it to then make more money, you know? Like
Yeah.
that's.
Hundreds and like I was looking, I mean, just the application alone, just to apply to take the exam is almost $300. And then you have to pay another almost 300 just to take the exam. What? What are we
I
doing in
know. It's ridiculous. I'm like, where do you think I'm getting this money from?
Yeah.
Because it's, yeah. And then, you know, the study materials, I think I probably spent around $300 or so
Yeah.
study materials and all that. But yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, I know private practice is definitely a avenue for some people to kind of, you know, make the salary that they're desiring. And I've also seen that be, you know, if you have the time in your schedule and
Yeah.
all of that. But my coworker, she opened up a private practice on the side, and that's kind of like
Yeah.
her side hustle. I think she makes about like 1,000 or so a month. So that's, you know, an option, and she doesn't really have any desire to take it full time, but I know that that could be a nice starting point for some people where, okay, you have your guaranteed salary, you know, and then kind of starting this on the side, building it up, which can take time, but can also be a way for people to make the money that they deserve to be paid.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, I'm wondering just in terms of money, what does a balanced budget look like as a social worker? I know it's a very personal, like it's person to person, but in your experience, like what does that mean to you?
Yeah, I think a balanced budget is I'm spending money on, I have money allocated for my needs and my wants, so, and my debts. So those are kind of like my three, like needs, wants, debts. And I think there's some people online who have this narrative that if you're in debt, then you can't have fun, you can't go out to eat, you can't travel, do these things until you're out of debt, and that is just not a healthy way to live, I think, for me and not many people that I know. So I feel like knowing your values and what you like to spend money on, is it things, is it experiences, kind of making sure that you have some a line item for things that you that bring you joy, because we also need to enjoy our lives now. And I also know that budget, that word can be like a really scary and concerning, and it was for me too. I felt like it would be restricting, but I've learned that it's helped me reach the goals that we have set for ourselves in terms of finances, and has allowed me to spend on things that I want and not feel guilty about it, because I know that I had this amount of money to spend on a massage or a tattoo or whatever. I don't feel guilty that, oh, I could have, maybe I might have taken that money out of, this line item, or I shouldn't have spent that or whatever. So I feel like it's helped me relax a little bit with my spending. So,
Definitely. I mean, I feel like it's having just like a goal, like to have a goal, like those SMART goals we always talk about. Like it's a good guidepost so you actually know what works. 'Cause I remember when we were flying budget lists for a little bit, I like took a look at what we were spending just in a month. And I talked to my husband, I'm like, how did we spend like $400 at Dunkin' Donuts last month? That's insane. Because you just don't even realize, because it's like a coffee here, a coffee there. Oh, let's just run and get like a little treat. And it's what?
And I think the kind of the next step of the budget, with the budget, you're writing out that I'm going to spend this on bills, this on, my mortgage, rent, whatever. But then that the next step is tracking your expenses and, subtracting it from the amount that you have allocated for groceries and figuring out how much do you have left for your grocery budget so you don't overspend. And I feel like that part of it, making a budget to me feels easy. Like I'll just put my numbers in there. But the hard part is like keeping up with making sure that I am, on track with those numbers. It's hard for me to kind of conceptualize. And sitting down and tracking expenses, I have continuously failed at it. I feel like it's hard. What do you guys do?
It's very sporadic. I have this thing where like every month, because I like to like look at the month ahead, try to make some goals, and that's when I like will review how we spent that month and stuff like that. Does it happen every month? No, it does not. So sometimes we'll play catch up, but and then we try to categorize things, like we have the certain categories in our budget. I don't know if that's really created any change, but we're at least aware of like, okay, this is where the money is going.
Yeah, totally. And I think that's something that we actually didn't even know when we started this journey of like, where are we spending money? Oh, we're spending more than we bring in this month. And I think that's, a good place to start. One thing that's been super helpful for us is, people talk about the envelope budgeting. Have you seen that? Where it's like, okay, you take out a whole bunch of cash and you have this envelope for groceries, this envelope for eating out, all your various envelopes for whatever you spend your money on. And then when the money in that envelope is gone, you can't spend anymore for that category. I don't like having cash, so we don't have physical envelopes, but I like to call them like digital envelopes. And so we have four different bank accounts for our various categories. So we just
I
have
like that.
one bank account for bills, we have one bank account for food and like miscellaneous stuff. And then we each have our own spending account because my husband's in school, and so he's not making any money. And it's helpful for us to just both have equal amounts of, we call it kind of like our allowance for the month. And it also includes gas. So it's like you can spend this on literally anything you want, no questions asked. Like, we don't need to have a conversation about
I
it.
love that.
I can buy all the plants that I want, and he can buy all the golf stuff that he wants,
There we
and
go.
no one's judgy. So that I feel like I tell everyone about this like digital, I call it the digital envelope budgeting method because I'm such a visual person, and so it's helpful for me to look. And we share all of the we're like co-owners on all of the bank accounts, so we can share that, we can see them all. And so, like for our grocery budget, it's helpful to know I can just open up my app and see how much money do I have left for groceries instead of me having to track my expenses weekly. And it's just hard for me to keep up on that. And some people they really love that method, but I've just found it just doesn't work for me. And I really love this like budgeting
I love
envelope
that because
method.
I've looked at, like, I've watched some videos on, like, the cash stuffing, the envelopes and all that. And I'm like, I love this idea, but same thing as you, like, I don't ever use cash. I don't want to, like, have to deal with cash all the time. But still having that broken up, I think, is really helpful.
Yeah, definitely. And some people I've seen just start with one for bills and then spending. So like, your spending would include groceries, eating out, kind of your variable expenses, and then the bills, you just have your, bills account. And so I know people that has worked well for them in, kind of getting a little bit more in tune with their finances and what's going in and what's going out. So highly recommend.
I love that. Now, as we wrap up, this is a hard question again, but what's just like one piece of advice where social workers listening can kind of start, or what can they take from this?
I think knowing, accepting that you are deserving of a salary that allows you to live the life that you want.
Love it.
And, I know we advocate so much for our coworkers and our clients, and like that is like the one of our core values, advocacy. And so just I really want people to, advocate for yourself, advocate for your salary, whether it's in your workplace or leaving. And if that is something that you're wanting, it's okay to leave. I'm giving you the permission. It's okay to leave your job for more money. Don't let anyone make you feel bad about that. And you can and are capable of learning about personal finance as well. So, just taking it slow, and it's a lot to learn, and it's going to be frustrating, and you may have setbacks, but just knowing that you can do it. So.
Woohoo! I love that. Thank you so much, Taylor, for coming on. I feel like this was such an important and needed conversation. Now, for people listening, I know you have your Instagram, your blog, and everything. Where can they keep up with you?
Yeah, so on Instagram, you can find me at Social Work to Wealth. And then my blog is socialworktowealth.com. So, like I was saying before, I'm very transparent with all of those numbers. And so, if people are wanting to, just kind of see our journey, and it's there for you.
Exciting. Well, thank you everyone so much for listening. Everything that Taylor talked about will be linked below too. And if you like today's episode, like, share, comment, do what you gotta do, and we will see you next time. Thank you.